It's an odd time, not just on the row, but in general. That might be the only thing I'm certain of. The weather is typically unpredictable, but there has been a comfort lately that I've been enjoying. In the past few weeks, there have been some punk rock shows within walking distance of home. Something about walking over, having a few beers with your friends, and checking out live bands that aren't too different from the punk rock you grew up on and was so important to some of us when we were kids. And still is. This has nothing to do with the turn of night stories coming up on this episode, but hey, so what? Before we know it, the summer will be here, along with the festivities that come along with the season. I'm sure the weird things that go on are still going to go on, but it's been quieter lately, and that's okay too. After a few years with not much live entertainment for me personally, it's good to be going out and having a bit of fun again. If you can, get out there and do something you like. Now, stay tuned for two episodes of The Turn of Night entitled Don't Let Them In and Harmless Incantations. Until next time.
Welcome to The Turn of Night.
Okay, so whenever you're ready, just tell your story like it happened.
I know we're getting into the holiday season, but my story takes place on Halloween night. Since there was no Halloween last year because of the pandemic, my wife and I bought some extra candy and put up some real cool-looking decorations and carved up a really big jack-o'-lantern. Well, sure enough, by 5:30, kids were ringing the doorbell and yelling trick-or-treat. There were the usual costumes. Cartoon characters, superheroes, monsters, and the classics, ghosts and skeletons. It was great to see all the neighbors out having fun. Well, I guess it'd be around 8 o'clock the street started dying down a bit, and my wife said she was going to go pick up her sister and her sister's husband. My brother-in-law's a big jovial fellow, and they wanted to come over and have some drinks with us out on the back patio while the weather was still nice. So I slowly started bringing in the decorations, and I noticed a couple of kids sitting across the street, both of them wearing jackets and ball caps. I didn't know what characters they were supposed to be dressed up as, but I just assumed that they were a couple of trick-or-treaters. I slowly started bringing in the decorations, and it would
would be around 8:30, I decided to bring in the jack-o'-lantern because no kids had come to the house for a few minutes. You can just tell. So, as I was bringing it in, the two kids approached me. They asked if they could come in and use the phone, and being a good neighbor, I said absolutely. There was something off about them, but what do I know? They're just kids. I didn't even know what they were supposed to be dressed up as, but once they were in the house, I noticed that something was wrong. They didn't have plastic pails or shopping bags or pillowcases even for trick-or-treats. There was something different about them. I asked them what they were supposed to be dressed up as, and they both looked up at me, their eyes completely black. Before I could hand them my cell phone, the older one spoke, "We need to call our parents. They will be coming to get us soon." At that moment, I felt completely nauseous and sudden case of vertigo. I fell to the floor, and the older one spoke, "Our parents are coming. They will be here soon." Luckily for me at that moment, my wife's car pulled into the driveway. My brother-in-law, big jovial guy, came bounding into the house in his Dracula costume carrying a case of beer, loud as ever. And as I looked up, I saw the two kids running away out the front door. I must have passed out for a few minutes. I came to, I was on the couch. My wife, her sister, and my brother-in-law asking me what was wrong. I thought maybe for a second it was something I ate, but my wife and I ate the same food that day. I had a cup of coffee from a local shop earlier, but it couldn't have been that. It had to have been those kids. There was something off about them. And now that I think about it, there was almost an air of evil. I wouldn't have said anything, but last week I saw those same two kids again, walking down the street in a neighborhood almost a mile away from where I live. They're not human. If they ask to come in your house, don't let them in. Just don't.
Welcome to the Turn of Night.
It was an unusual and hideous-looking book, but it stood out from the rest. One of our members had recognized the title on the rough-looking leather cover. The book itself didn't need any repair, as it had been well taken care of. We were also aware that this was the last known copy of its kind. Carminibus was the title, author unknown. Translated to English, it meant incantations. Dismissed throughout history by scholars as a mere novelty, we recognized its potential for power. At the very least, we were willing to settle for the excitement of reading a spell from its pages. The passage on gateways was selected, and an internet translation was done, as none of us were proficient in Latin. Combining the ancient words from this text and modern technology seemed somehow logical. We went out to the open clearing, where we often performed such rituals, and set up our altar. The ingredients were simple, as we had most on hand. At times, we felt it was a tad funny, but we were sincere in our hopes. The time was monitored in accordance with our astronomical requirements. We began performing said ritual, even though our pronunciation of the Latin words left much to be desired. We had conducted the ceremony and followed it to the letter,
yet nothing happened. It was something we were quite accustomed to. At least we could keep it in our order's archives, or even sell it to a dealer in the underground for a handsome fee. After we lingered in the clearing for a bit, we packed up and left no trace of our actions. We headed back to our sanctum, as it was a short walk through the wooded pathway. Historical hoax or not, we chatted and even shared a laugh on our stroll back. A slight change in atmosphere went unnoticed. Even the wind picking up and dying down wasn't something we'd give a second thought to. I had the uneasy feeling, though, that we were being watched. That's not uncommon either, and we prepared to enter the building we used as our base. To my horror, we were in fact being observed. We only glimpsed it for an instant, yet it seemed an eternity. Powerful, tall, humanoid, yet a face with features that can only be described as alien-like in appearance. A pulsating sound and the collective breaths of the others were the last sounds we would hear, save for the tearing of flesh. In an instant, there were only two of us left, our ceremonial robes drenched in the blood of our fellow members, struggling to open and then lock the door behind us. It would seem that we were safe for the moment, but the other surviving brother was taken by the shock of the horrific incident we'd witnessed. I've been waiting here now some 7 hours. The sun has risen, and I've only just dared to move from the spot where I've hidden. I have now come to the realization that not just have 9 other lives been lost, but that this new being that we've summoned into our existence will not be alone for long. Our incantation opened the doorway, and if the book can be found, perhaps there is a way to close it. I regret what we have done, although I fear that I may not live with these remorseful thoughts for much longer. I ventured outside. There are no signs of the massacre that I witnessed last night. Minutes passed, and I heard my name being called. My fellow members all stood upright, with not even the slightest hint of an injury. They called to me, alive, yet I fear not quite human, and still in possession of the book that has brought this evil into our world.
The lights are on as the evening shadows are creeping in. Hopefully, you won't get caught in the turn of night. Thank you.